Welcome to Historical Jesus. I'm Mark Vinette. The slaughter of the innocents is a story recounted in the Nativity narrative of the Gospel of Matthew, in which Herod the Great, king of Judea, orders the execution of all male children who are 2 years old and under in the vicinity of Bethlehem. Some Christians venerate the holy innocents as the first Christian martyrs, but most modern scholarship finds no evidence that it happened outside the passages in Matthew, and thus consider it a myth. Appointed by the Romans, King Herod's reign was defined by great architectural projects, canny diplomacy, and tyrannical behavior. Herod even appears as an unlikely and unlikable character in the Nativity saga, the king who ordered the execution of children in an effort to kill Jesus. But did this really happen? Let's investigate this story with the help of the Pologia podcast.
Why Christianity Framed Herod as a Baby Killer, featuring Dr. Jody Magnus.
Where a former Christian takes a look at the claims of Christians.
I think that the gospel accounts contain a lot of historical references. It's like evaluating any other ancient source, but particularly when you're talking about the Bible, whether it's the Hebrew Bible or the New Testament, it's a matter of exactly which pieces of information are reliable or historical. How do you determine which ones are? And just because somebody who is a real historical figure is mentioned doesn't make the entire story historical. I find the gospel accounts, and especially the synoptics, to be really interesting in terms of shedding light on the world of Jesus, Judaism in the time of Jesus. That's what interests me the most.
Jody Magnus, an atheist archaeologist from the University of North Carolina, she has no theological motivation to say this, says, yes, the gospels get it right.
You wrote, the gospel accounts of Jesus' burial appear to be largely consistent with the archaeological evidence.
Yes.
And also, the gospel accounts describing Jesus' removal from the cross and burial accord well with archaeological evidence and Jewish law. You are oft quoted.
Yeah, so I just want to clarify, when I say they're consistent with, they are consistent with. Does that prove the historicity of the gospel accounts? It doesn't prove the accounts are historical, but it means that whoever wrote those accounts was familiar with how the Jews of Jerusalem disposed of their dead in the time of Jesus.
Would the thieves also have been taken down by sundown? Is that something that probably would have happened to their bodies as well?
Well, in theory, according to Jewish law, ideally, even the worst criminals are entitled to a proper burial within 24 hours of death. So if there was somebody who could have attended to that, then yes. But the fact is that not everybody in the ancient world, including not all Jews, received a proper burial, either within 24 hours or at all. And we have plenty of evidence for that. There was nothing to say that they wouldn't have been buried within 24 hours of death, taken down from the cross, but that would have been if there was somebody who would have attended to that for them.
Who would have taken them down if no one came forward to claim them?
I assume that since they were crucified by the Roman authorities, that at some point the Romans might have removed them from the crosses, but that doesn't mean they would have given them a proper burial. I'm not sure. Maybe they could have just been left on the crosses for a while. People were crucified, by the way, outside the walls of the city. So maybe they were just left and then vultures and animals ate their remains. We know that happened a lot in the ancient world. There's a wonderful passage in Suetonius's biography, Life of Vespasian, where the emperor is dining at his breakfast table and a dog trots in and deposits a human hand under the breakfast table. So there were dogs and other scavengers around that scavenged dead bodies. So anybody whose remains were not properly disposed of, and apparently that was a not small part of the population, was subject to being scavenged in that way. It was not uncommon. And the story of the massacre of the innocents. Herod claimed to be the fulfillment of the expectation of a Davidic Messiah, which was apparently a widespread expectation already at that time, and we see that also in the gospel accounts. And he did this by, among other things, he doesn't talk about the tomb at Herodium, because that, of course, had not been found yet, but by pointing out that there's, in particular, one passage in Josephus where Herod claims to rule by the will of God. It's God's will that I have been appointed king. And we see that Herod is presenting himself as the fulfillment of the expectation of a Davidic Messiah by rebuilding the Jerusalem temple on a massive scale, where he actually outdoes Solomon. And what Herod then does is he plugs into the existing Roman environment of an era of peace and prosperity, this sort of golden age in the time of Augustus. And Herod then says, it is through the agency of the Romans that we are in an era of peace and prosperity, thanks to the Romans appointing me king. And now with Herodium, we can look and see what's going on here. And one of the things that I had long asked myself, and this was long before the mausoleum was discovered, is why Herod had himself buried at Herodium. I couldn't figure it out. Of all the places, he could have been buried anywhere. Why on that spot? And then finally, it all made sense because it overlooks Bethlehem. The connection to David. You want to connect yourself to David. Bethlehem is the birthplace of David. Look at the trouble that the gospel writers go to connect Jesus to David by way of Bethlehem. He's from Nazareth, but no, actually, he's from Bethlehem. So I think that the placement of Herodium, among other things, was intended to visually connect Herod with the birthplace of David. So I think that you have two things going on here with the mausoleum. On the one hand, you have Herod situating himself in this sort of royal, dynastic, and divine line of rulers from Alexander and then going through Augustus by way of the way that he constructs his final resting place. But also for the Jewish side then, laying claim to having fulfilled the expectations associated with the Davidic Messiah. I have colleagues who are like, oh, this just sounds so far-fetched that Herod would have claimed to be Messiah, that anybody would have actually believed this. But then in the gospel accounts, you get references to this group called the Herodians.
You do.
And who are these weird Herodians you hear about with the Pharisees and this and that, right? There's no agreement about who this group is, although a lot of scholars think that they're some sort of a group of the elite that were aligned with Herod, and therefore they're called the Herodians. But what's really interesting is that we also get references, quite a few actually, to Herodians in later literature. From about the year 200 AD on, we have a series of ancient authors, beginning with Pseudo-Tertullian. These ancient authors, who call them a Jewish sect, called the Herodians, who believed that Herod was the Messiah. That's how they're defined in these authors starting from around the year 200. If we can retroject that back to the New Testament, then it goes all the way to the first century. That's a little bit of a leap. But what it means is that by the time you get to the beginning of the third century and then going on from there, there were Christian authors who believed that there was a group that there had been, or not they existed, but they write about them. And some of them seem to be threatened by this. Oh, this is a group that thinks that Herod's the Messiah, whereas actually the Messiah is Jesus. So it appears that the idea that Herod not only claimed to be the Messiah, but actually that there were people who accepted that claim, that that is something that's real. And now we go back to the way Herod chose to memorialize himself in his mausoleum and his tomb at Herodium. It all fits together.
Although I'm wondering now if that makes it more or less likely that he killed infants in Bethlehem.
So then you get to that. I don't know whether that episode in Matthew, the massacre of the innocents, whether it actually happened or not. Again, scholars disagree. Many scholars think that it's a fabricated story, that it never happened, that it is inspired by Herod's reputation for having his own sons put to death. That's where it goes. So I don't know whether that actually happened or not, but I do think that the story as presented in the Gospel of Matthew reflects one reaction to Herod's claim. Because one of the things in that passage that the author of the Gospel of Matthew does is he keeps repeating Bethlehem, 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 and that Jesus is from Bethlehem and Jesus is the legitimate Messiah. So Herod is presented as not just not the Messiah, not the legitimate Messiah, but Herod is basically an antichrist who tries to have the true legitimate Messiah put to death. I think that the story is one Jewish reaction to Herod's claim. So clearly, different groups of Jews reacted differently to Herod's claim. I think that there was probably a group, whether they were called the Herodians or not, who accepted Herod's claim. And they were probably members of the elite. They were probably in his circle because they benefited from being in Herod's circle. But then there were obviously other Jewish groups that opposed this claim. And I think that's the reaction that we see in the story of the massacre of the innocents.
I'm Mark Vinette. Thank you for sharing your time with me. Doctors endorse it, nutritionists recommend it, and customers love it. Calotrin Healthy Weight Loss. Ron in Texas lost 35 pounds. Marie in Pennsylvania lost 117 pounds with Calotrin. Diane not only lost weight, but she also found relief from arthritis. Lynn lost over 45 pounds. Calotrin contains collagen, the most abundant protein naturally occurring in the human body, which decreases as we age. Taking Calotrin promotes better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and best of all, weight loss. Calotrin has an amazing 86% success rate with their 90-day supply. And this week, take advantage of their President's Day sale. Buy the 90-day supply and get an extra month free, plus free shipping. Ordering is so easy. Just text the word HISTORY to the code 30605, and we'll send you a link to this special offer. Again, text HISTORY, that's HISTORY, using the code 30605.